This is the first of three that will be available from Bill McKeon. You are more than welcome to leave your comments, questions, etc. More files will become available as time allows and as the technology allows us to do it. This file was recorded on this platform on May 1st, 2008. And I hope everyone here enjoys it. All right, it is May 1st, 2008. I'm Jerry Reimer, and this is going to be going to our technology podcast and the Music Education Network for the Visually Impaired presentation page. So I'm Jared Reimer, and I've got Bill McKeon on Skype.
Hi, Jared.
Hi, Bill. We will do this in three segments, as Bill and I have discussed. This portion is the interview. Then we will do scanning and audio and anything else that they would like to talk about. So, Bill, let's start with a bit of a bio on you. Most people out here on these particular systems don't know much about you, so I guess we'll start with a bio.
Okay, well, I started out life as a very small child, as you may know, and kind of went from there. But seriously now,
That was good.
I started a company 15 years ago called Dancing Dots Braille Music Technology, as you know, and I started it because I am a blind musician and because I felt that there was a lot of really cool technology happening for sighted musician friends of mine that we as blind musicians either couldn't get to or couldn't get to in a reasonably accessible way to let us be independent about using it. In terms of my own personal background, I was born with very low vision, lost what little I had when I was six, went to a school for the blind here in Philadelphia, St. Lucie Day School, went to my local high school after that, and then went to what's now called University of the Arts in Philadelphia music school, and studied trumpet with a jazz emphasis. Last couple of years of college, started hearing about people using, at that time, there were Apple IIe's to make Braille, to convert text to Braille. Then I started hearing about people using IBM PCs to print music and play things in and listen back and then turn it into staff notation. So I said, well, if we can Braille the text and if we can print the music, why can't we Braille the music? And so that was an idea I had way back late 70s, early 80s, but life went on. I finished my degree. I worked as a musician as much as I could for that year after I graduated in 1980. And after a year, I had played in every church and nightclub that would have me. I had taught sighted and blind students. I'd even sold some arrangements of music. But I really came up being way more poor than I wanted to be and decided that maybe I'd go to school and learn to do something else, which was program computers. And literally, I had not touched a computer in my whole life up until that point. And I had always thought I'd be a musician as a performer. But I studied for 10 months, and it was a course at the University of Pennsylvania here in Philadelphia. And It was a course sponsored by the hospital as a rehabilitation program and by the Wharton School of Business as a business program. And after 10 months, I was offered an internship at a company then called the Sun Company, but it's really better known as Sunoco to people who buy their gas from them or their heating oil. And at the end of that internship, they offered me a job. I said, sure. And I spent the next almost 10 years programming in a group. We maintain the software for the payroll systems, for the the systems to calculate people's retirement benefits, dental deductions, medical deductions, you name it. Wonderful job. I was happy to have it, but one of those jobs that nobody really notices you at all until you mess up their paycheck. No one ever called to say, look at this great paycheck. They always seem to call when they were missing some of their money. But I kept up as a musician, and after about 9.5 years, my company was looking to get smaller, and they were nice enough to ask people if they wanted to volunteer to leave. And I had been talking about starting a business or developing this software for a long time. I had the mistaken notion I could do it kind of part-time, but I never did because I was still working as a full-time as a programmer and part-time as a musician. And then I got married in 87, and by 89 I was a father, and so life was kind of going along. And so when this opportunity came up, I talked about it, prayed about it, thought about it, agonized about it, talked to my wife about it. Finally, we decided that it was the time, and I volunteered to leave. And my company was nice enough to pay me for 7 months to leave, and that gave me enough time to organize and raise some money and start what became Dancing Dots. So that's probably enough. More than enough about me, but if you have any follow-up questions, you can.
I read your that text interview, and I sent that to the list that they did on you, the interview off of that one website.
That was a nice article. Deborah Kendrick wrote an article for the Access World, American Foundation for the Blind. Yeah, that was very nice.
Yeah, I saw it in Top Tech Tidbits. And thought I would send it.
Yeah, thank you.
But no, that so I guess our segments will then talk about what specifically the company does and
sure
and all of that.
Sure. Okay. Well.
So that's interesting. During the interview process, I guess we can talk about schooling and how easy it was to get Braille or hard it was to get Braille in general.
I, as you know, I'm from Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and I went to a Catholic school, so it complicated things a little bit. But in PA, at least, the state will provide books to you, but. There were crazy things back in the 70s, like they would provide me my math book, but they would give me the one that they were using at the public school. Well, that wasn't the one that we were using. So there were some complications. I did get a lot of my books, though, in Braille. But math, I never got a Braille math book. And I think my junior year I got the, like, 5 editions ago Braille version of my trigonometry book. But, so I did a lot of math in my head, and I always did well in school, but math was always my challenge. And my teacher wanted me to take a math analysis course when I was a senior, and I said, no, thank you, I'm going to take a Shakespeare course. But I like math. I think there is a lot of connection between math and music, and there's some beauty to it. It's just that I always found it a little bit too much of a struggle. But what really got me started with Dancing Dots, with the idea of automating Braille music transcription, was being in the, I was the only blind student in our high school band, and then I was one of the few blind students in our music, basically our music conservatory in college. And I was always waiting for the music to come back from the transcriber. And these were wonderful people who volunteered their time and talent. And I couldn't say to them, listen, I have to have this tomorrow. But in reality, I really did have to have it tomorrow. But most of the time, I got it a couple weeks at best later, maybe 5 or 6 weeks sometimes. It depended because, you know, these people were volunteers and they had other things to do and they had other people to serve. So I was really motivated to find a way to get to a point where I could create my own Braille scores, or people who weren't Braille music transcribers, trained, you know, certified Braille music transcribers, could actually use a system to make Braille music without having to know Braille. They'd have to know how to read print, and they'd have to know how to use a computer. And but my thinking was that there are a whole lot more people who can read print music and use a computer than there are, you know, the maybe 30 or so people in the U.S. who are certified Braille music transcribers.
And that's a rough, we just got a couple of more just recently.
Yes, and it's very good news for Braille music that over the last 5 years, we've hopefully hit bottom and we're bouncing back up on that number. But there still are just not enough people who can do that work. And my hope with Goodfeel, which is our Braille music translator program from Dancing Dots, is that it will, and it does, take care of a lot of the meat and potatoes kinds of transcriptions, you know, your flute part, your alto part in the choir, your piano piece, so that the people who are trained transcribers can focus on some of the things that Goodfeel doesn't do and may never do, you know, really, really involved organ scores, let's say, or orchestral scores, operas, of course, anything like experimental notation or really old notation that wasn't written in standard Western notation.
Interesting. Would you think Goodfeel would be good to be upgraded to do such things? And maybe we can, you know, not very, very, very complex, but maybe help out in such a way?
Well, we'll have to see where it goes. I think there's still room for us to improve the product for sure. But at the moment, I think the next priority for me would be to make Goodfeel do some other format methods besides bar over bar. There are a lot of places in the world, especially in Europe, where blind musicians like to see a format called paragraph style, and we don't do that, and had a lot of requests for that. So there are some things we can do with the existing software to help people see things in the format they prefer.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Absolutely. Of course, we can come by, and of course, on the main technology podcast, we can talk about what's new. With the whole technology aspect of the company. How did you end up finding Menby?
Well, I found Richard Tesh, or maybe Richard found me. I
don't remember.
I'm not sure how we connected. I think we first met back in, oh my, maybe it was 1999 or 2000. I know we met at a CTEVH conference that was held at the Los Angeles Airport Hilton. I remember meeting Richard there. We had arranged to meet, and we sat down and had a great dinner together, and we connected immediately on a lot of levels as musicians, as people who love Braille, just as people. We bonded and had a very enjoyable meeting, and Richard really has had and does continue to have a passion for Braille, for music, and for helping people, just getting people what they need. And the Music Education Network for the Visually Impaired came out of his passions for those good things. And I was privileged to be a founding member at the founding meeting, which was at a subsequent CTEVH conference. Might have been in the year 2000. I'll have to ask Richard.
Yeah, I don't remember, because I remember that when I was doing the newsletters for the organization, when I built the website, the newsletters started in 97. Mm-hmm. There weren't all that many. There was like maybe one a year.
Well, maybe then I'm thinking of that first meeting I went to as the founding meeting. Maybe it was, or maybe I'm mistaken on the year. I believe I was there at the first meeting. I remember sitting in a room at a hotel. I think that year the conference, CTEVH conference, was up in San Francisco in Burlingame.
Yeah, I don't remember for sure, but it was like 97, 98 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So you were one of the first members here.
Yeah.
Wow. It's interesting, and you've been a member since, and of course I found you, and we then started our network on the web,
mm-hmm.
which has grown now. We've got 165 people I'm tracking, 148 on the email side, and 16 on the web.
Nice.
And the also nice thing is that I've got a beeping phone.
Oh, really?
I'm going to have to go find another one. But it's interesting about all of, like how technology just changes people. Hook people up. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
So it's an interesting thing indeed, how all that technology, everybody seems to be hooking up now. We're hooking up on the web. We're hooking up by telephone. Now I'm going to be doing podcasts like this and getting our network exposed.
Good.
And that's what we should do, right?
Yeah, well, the world's getting smaller, as they say.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe half the people I haven't seen in years popping up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was the first person in my school that had internet access. So,
uh-huh.
I was the first one that had a computer. So a friend of mine, here, take this, 27-page Braille thing and type it up and save it on a disk and bring it in for me.
Hmm.
Remember those days?
Well, I have to tell you, when I was in music school, one of the fun things that I do now with Dancing Dots, I help get some of our technology to people in studying music at the college level. But I like to joke, but it's true that the most high-tech piece of gear I had in college was a slate and stylus.
Yeah,
and that was in late 70s. And I, you know, the teacher played things, and I wrote it down. I took dictation in Braille, and I'd have to read it back to him after class. And I had my solfege books in Braille, and thanks to my wonderful transcribers here, and so I could sing the solfege exercises, which for people who haven't majored in music, that basically means taking the notes and giving them syllables like C is Do and D is Re and E is Mi and, you know, that famous Do a Deer song. So that's the kind of stuff we do in music school when we're learning our skills. Yeah, so we've come a long way to the point where, you know, if I were going there today, I'd probably have a laptop computer and
Jaws or Window
Jaws.
Eyes.
I'd have some kind of Braille display. I'd have our software so I could scan music and learn it that way. Listen to it back, turn it into Braille. I could type and play things in and print it out and give it to my teacher so I wouldn't have to read them the Braille after class. So he could see it in print notation the way he likes to see it.
Uh-huh.
I took a techniques of recording course, and that would have been a whole different thing. Today, with our software, at the time it was all hardware-based, 2-inch tape, you know, 24-track tape, I think it was. So very different, but a lot of the concepts are still the same. As Duke Ellington said, there are two kinds of music, good music and bad music.
Absolutely.
So do you want to take some time now and play with some of these toys here?
Sure. Shall we say, I guess we'll save this because that'll complete this interview. And then I'll start a new one and we'll start playing with some of these toys, huh?
Okay.